Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard, and the Inside Analog Photography radio program is brought to you by our friends over at Fujifilm. www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Black and white, chrome, C41 color neg, and of course, instant. Pack film, unbelievable. Wide format Instax, very cool, and brand new into the country, Instax Mini. Definitely check them out. FujifilmUSA.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab, the place to send all of your film to be processed. These guys do a beautiful hybrid workflow, and face it, that's what it's about today. Most people, 95% of people that are shooting analog capture, that are doing any kind of professional work, are in a hybrid situation. These guys will develop your film, they will scan it, they will provide you proofs, they will provide whatever you need. Check them out, RichardPhotoLab.com. Our friends over at DR5 for the most fabulous black and white chrome you've ever seen. You send them regular black and white negative film. And guess what you get back? Black and white chrome. That's it. They have a proprietary reversal process that you will not believe. The latitude, the dynamic range. This is just beautiful, beautiful stuff going on over at DR5. Check them out, www.dr5.com. Our friends over at Iger Studios, the place to get high-resolution scans. These guys create unbelievable work. They're using an Aztec Premiere Pro 8,000 PPI adjustable aperture high-resolution drum scanner that will blow your mind. You got to send at least one piece of film to Iger Studios to have them try this out. Once you get it back, you will save your best work for Iger Studios to have the finest quality scans known to mankind. You can output this stuff any way you want. You can make digital negatives and make platinum palladium prints. Cyanotypes. You could send it back off somewhere and have a big Durst print made. Traditional photographic process done with a laser writer. All kinds of things you can do, and this is just beautiful stuff. And of course, inkjet output. You know, it really matters is you need to capture on analog. You're not going to beat analog capture, but after you have it in analog, you can do a lot of stuff with it. And the best way to keep this high resolution and beautiful film capture alive is to have it scanned really high resolution. So the keepers and your great work. Check them out, www.igerstudios.com. Our friends over at Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com for the camera strap that will not fall off your shoulder. Our media partners at the Analog Photography User Group, the place on the web for all things analog photography, a great place to learn and get questions answered, just a great community, apug.org. And our photographic philanthropy partners, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film over at www.eastmanhouse.org. You know, you can help out. These guys are trying to save traditional photographic processes for centuries to come. They're doing beautiful work. Definitely check them out, eastmanhouse.org. We got a great show today. We're going to have with us Teresa Goff. Teresa is a professional wedding and portrait family photographer out of Louisiana doing some beautiful work. She's been shooting digital, but guess what? She's going over to film. So we're going to talk today with Teresa about her workflow, what she's doing, her photography, and how, with her shooting high-end digital and now moving most of her work and a lot of it into analog, and pretty soon here all of it to analog, how this has been a transformation process and how great analog capture is. Teresa, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great, Scott.
Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. Great to have you on the radio here. Teresa, tell us about yourself. You're a professional wedding. You do a lot of great work there out of Louisiana. Tell us about what you do and where you're at exactly.
Well, I am in Zachary, Louisiana, which is a little north of Baton Rouge, very close to New Orleans. I am a wedding slash portrait type photographer. I'm trying to get away from the standard portrait-y look. I like all the new stuff that so many different photographers are really bringing into the business. I love the way it's headed, the whole industry.
I think this is a cool point to touch on here is you do shoot digital. You're a Nikon D3 shooter that I think is an excellent piece of equipment.
Yes, it is.
But you're also integrating more and more analog work into your workflow. So let's start off. Tell me how you got in photography in general. What got the bug with Teresa to want to shoot photos, make pictures, to be able to make art?
Well, I have always kind of considered myself the artsy type. I mean, I've always taken a lot of pictures and did the scrapbooking and all of that kind of stuff. I guess about 8 years ago, me and my husband took a class here in Baton Rouge at LSU, the university here. And we invested in an SLR film camera, and it was a Canon. And I was just recently looking through some of our stuff, and it all came out great. So I don't know why. I guess it was just the slow turnaround of the learning process whenever you're shooting film. And with the internet now, you can get so much information on different ways to shoot it. And you can really specialize in a certain look without it just looking like a standard snapshot. So that's really how I got started, just always taking pictures of the family. I kind of moved into digital, and I had a point-and-shoot, and it was a Sony. I got that because of the Zeiss glass, and I could do some manual settings on it. And then from there, I progressed to a Nikon D70, and then it was just upwards from there. I didn't start professionally. My friends have encouraged me to do it, and then I did it for them. Their friend wanted it, and the next one, and so that's how my business has grown. So that's pretty much where we are now. It's just been word of mouth and a little bit of marketing, and things have been great.
So how have you integrated in the analog process into what you're shooting? Do you find that you have clients looking for it? Are you looking to ease the post-production workflow from your business? What's your thoughts on why you would want to go shoot analog when you have a great piece of digital gear like the D3?
Well, I believe that I am a true artist, and I love art. I love it in every form and fashion. And so I started out and I had the D70 and I upgraded again to the D3, and it's an awesome camera. But just seeing through different publications and everything, I was always drawn to those photographers like Jose Villa, Tanya Lippert, Elizabeth Messina, and could go on and on and on. But that look just always drew me to that. And then, of course, the hours of post-production. And then never quite being satisfied with the way it looked because I wanted it to look like the film. And so I decided, hey, what the heck, I'm just going to go ahead and invest. I just love the way it looks, and I really enjoy just the whole learning process. So it's kind of a whole different feel when you pick up a film camera. I mean, the digital is so sensitive to light that I've had a few bad rolls of film because I'll shake a little bit more, or you notice the little things a little bit more, so I think it's making me a better photographer.
So what are you shooting with when it comes to your analog capture?
Well, I have a Contax 645. That was the first thing that I purchased because all of the photographers really love the way that it looks, and I wanted to see, based on the format, the difference, and I love that camera. It is kind of slow. So from there, I purchased a Nikon F5 and can use all of my prime lenses with that camera. That's when I really realized that the look, you really can't simulate it with Photoshop. I'm pretty savvy with Photoshop, like Brianna Graham and some of these photographers that do a good bit of Photoshopping. Love the way their work looks, but for me, it was a matter of just getting that crisp, clean, really natural look. And then if I want to do a little Photoshopping and make it look a little, like for seniors, a little bit more edgy, can do that. And it's not a big deal, but you drop off the film and you pick it up and it looks like you want it to look. So it really does make a big difference in the amount of time that you spend behind a computer.
What's your ratio of business? I mean, is it mainly mostly wedding stuff, portraiture, general photography? What's your split of what your business is right now?
Well, it's pretty much 50-50 or a little bit more on the portrait side at times of the year. Like right now, I have a wedding coming up this weekend, and then I don't have another one for a while, but I'm booked up with portraits because people are starting to get into the Christmas season. They want Christmas cards and stuff like that. So we stay busy, it seems like, every weekend. I'm just completely booked up. It's been nice, but I'd like to book a few more weddings, and we're going to start marketing more towards that. We've really been just in the business and seeing where it would take us, and I think we're ready to take that next step and just go for it.
Tell me about your workflow with the analog capture. So, of course, you shoot this with the Contax 645 or the Nikon, and then what happens from there?
Well, I have used Richard. I love them. They're awesome. But I also found a local photographer that they were scanning with the Fuji Frontier. And I used them, and I realized that I could drop off a roll of film and a day later go pick it up. And so I have been using them. I don't think that they, like Richard's, will customize the look for you. I like that, and I really love that. And like after the wedding this weekend, I'll send my film to Richard. But just having the local photographer, their name is Kadares, but anyway, they're easy to get to, and like I said, the turnaround time is really fast. So that is a big plus. And they do a phenomenal job of dusting and keeping the prints look really nice. It's just a matter, I guess, of preference and see how much you want to personalize the look.
I mean, have you had Richard do anything custom for you, or is it pretty much they just process it, scanned it, and sent it to you? Or did you work with them on the phone to have a certain look created when they were in the scanning process?
Well, my first wedding that I sent back in January, they processed it, and it came back, and it looked great. But at that time, I didn't know a lot about the different types of scanners and all that. So after learning, I called them or emailed them and asked them, what are you scanning with, and will it look different if you scan it on the Frontier? And so they got back to me, and they filled me in on the differences. And I think, like, Tanya Lippert used the Noritsu, which was what they used in January. A while back, I sent some bridles to Richards, and they sent it back. And I basically said on the form what look that I liked. It was Jose's. And they sent it back. And I mean, of course, it's not his work, but it looked phenomenal. I mean, I was very, very, very pleased with it. So I think that overall for the big stuff, I would continue to use them. And for the little stuff, when I'm playing around, the local lab is awesome.
So I think you found that you like the look of the SP2500 Fuji scanner over the Noritsu.
That's correct. Is that the Frontier?
That's the Frontier, yes. The Fuji Frontier, the SP2500, I think has a much different look than the Noritsu.
It does. It's a difference in colors, I find. They're both equally nice, and I don't know what they do for Tanya's, but, I mean, her work looks awesome, and the stuff I had done in January looked great. It did. It's just that the colors were a little bit darker than, I think, when they scan with the Frontier.
Yeah, the Frontier scanner I find to be, I don't know, it seems to me, I mean, there's six of one, half dozen other. You have a higher resolution scan with the Noritsu scanner, but the blacks seem to be muddied.
It's just a different look overall. The thing that drew me to Jose's work and all was just how bright, and it just makes you happy when you look at it. It's just awesome. The stuff that I did, there's another part of it is we're here in the South, and it gets hot. The light, until late, it's really, really strong. And so if you're shooting midday to 2 or 3 o'clock with the film, I guess it's easier to get something that's not to be overexposed. It looks great. You have detail in the light. And I guess if you look at the whole thing, it just looks better overall.
I think so, too. And I think, as you well know, I mean, you have a very piece of capable digital equipment with the D3. Mm-hmm. But shooting digital like that, I mean, you don't have the exposure latitude like you do with film.
Yeah, that was the word I was looking for, latitude. Yes, I agree completely. And the light here, it is just bright and harsh. And it's hard sometimes to schedule everything late afternoon. And so we did a shoot, and it was at the governor's mansion, and there was lots of white, and it was an extremely bright day, and it came out gorgeous. I sent it to Richards, and I put on there that I liked Jose's look. It came back, and it was just really some of my favorite work overall that I've done.
So tell me about your acquisition stock. What are you shooting film-wise? What emulsion?
Well, I love the 400H, but I also like the 800Z, the 400CN for black and white. I'm just kind of playing around with a lot of the black and white right now. I have shot some Portra, the Kodak, and it's got a beautiful look. I think it's the NC, has kind of a rosy look to it, and I really like that look too. So the main thing is the Fuji. The Fuji 800C and the 400H is my primary, what I go to most of the time.
Very, very interesting. So tell me about your deliverables. So let's say you do go shoot a wedding. What's the ratio of digital versus analog of what you have in your album when you're done?
Well, right now it's about half and half. Like the wedding that I'm going to shoot this weekend, it's a late afternoon evening wedding. So all the getting ready and pre stuff will be shot in film. And then when we go to the reception ceremony, we'll shoot half and half. We'll shoot a lot of digital. My associate, she'll shoot digital as well. And then I'll have the contact or either my Nikon F5 with me, and I'll be shooting like the 1600 Neopan. Or I have some 3200 Ilford that I wanted to play around with it too. So right now we're just trying to kind of sample, and I want to make sure I have the digital as well, so that whenever I get ready to deliver it, if something doesn't come out like I expected it to, I'll still have it. So it's still kind of like my security and my crutch. But my clients are paying me to get the picture, and until I'm 100% confident that what I'm doing is going to be perfect, then we'll make that transition.
Do you see that your clients there, do they know that you're shooting film? Are they just looking at your look? Do you advertise and inform them that you shoot on film? Do you find that people want images from their special events, their portraits, their kids, their weddings shot on analog process?
Well, they don't normally ask. I don't think they really care either way. But I do notice that once I deliver the film and some of the digital, that they usually kind of pick the film. I don't think that they understand what it is about that image that they like more, but it's just the one that draws them to it. So I see that overall, if you have an eye for any kind of work, a lot of times you'll look at the film and like it automatically and not really know this is what it is about this picture that I like. So I do see a little bit of a preference, but I don't think that they would care either way. Just as long as they get what they like and the whole day goes pretty well. I guess the area here in Baton Rouge, we're a little bit behind, like the West Coast and in other areas as far as photography style. And so we're trying to break them of that. We're trying to kind of get away from that real portrait-y pose look. And so I try to kind of mix it up a little bit and do a little bit of both. And I think that they're just pleasantly surprised after the fact that they like something that's not completely set up.
It's very interesting to see that your clients are actually picking out images that are on film and not knowing that they were shot on film, but they're more aesthetically pleasing to them.
Yeah, I think overall, I mean, I considered it and kind of fought with myself over it because the D3 is an awesome camera. And who wants to go and spend more money on equipment? But one thing about the film and analog equipment is that it lasts forever. And you can buy it secondhand for a lot cheaper than you can buy premium digital camera. And so it's kind of like an investment. My D3, it's going to eventually be kind of archaic. It probably already is, but as it ages, once I retire it, I'm hoping to be 100% film. Plus, we don't want the film to die.
No, and how long do you think it'll be until you can actually make this progression? We all love film, and we're all shooting film, and this is great stuff. I also agree with you that shooting the digital in certain environments like the reception or where there's very poor light, that it's very difficult to beat the D3 when it comes to high ISO, even though you can shoot 3200 black and white film, an extra stop, and blah, blah, blah. But consequently, I think there's room for both in a workflow.
I agree with you 100% on that. I might not ever phase out the digital 100% just because of the style that I like. And once I get behind a computer and I start looking at an image, I pick it apart. When I shoot film, I take it, I drop it off, I bring it back, and I'm like, this is perfect. So I just can't see sitting behind a computer all the time trying to make it look like a film. Now, the low light is a completely different situation. The D3 is amazing in low light. So you can shoot the D3, bring it home, and really not have to do anything to it. Because it's going to be grainy looking. It's going to have a lot of noise. But it's a good noise. Once you convert it to black and white and you're not dealing with white balance issues, it looks awesome. So you're right, that might have a part in our workflow. But overall, the stuff that I want to present and the stuff that I like is the more natural, pretty colors. The black and white is one of those things that in a reception, there's not a whole lot you can do unless you have good light. And so to me, that has a little bit more emotion. And so you're not looking to take the perfect picture. You just want to capture the moment. And so the black and white, to me, conveys emotion a lot better than color for the most part. And so at this point, we'll continue to play with the black and white films and see if we can convert completely to film from the digital.
There's a few guys out there that are shooting exclusively black and white. Look at Rissus in Miami.
No,
he's shooting all black and white, and that's it, and that's all you get. And maybe if you're lucky, he'll shoot a picture for you in color. But typically, he's zone focusing, using a Leica in all black and white. And like you said, he's capturing the moment. Black and white has a very unique look to it. I don't know if everybody would want to go that way. I guess it depends on the individual client, but I think you could definitely do that. And if that's part of your workflow and people know this going in, they're going to book you based off what they see.
That's right. And that's what we're trying to get to, is that we're doing what we love, but we also have to remember that we have a product to deliver to a client. And so at the same time, if we want to continue doing what we love, we've got to somewhat cater to the market here. But like the black and white photographers, when I look at that, I'm just in awe. Maybe in a perfect world, everybody would be able to shoot one specific way. But our market here, it's somewhat limited. And so we're still trying to kind of increase, I guess, the whole experience so that they understand. I try to market towards feeling, and I want to capture that snaggle-tooth smile and the not-so-perfect stuff that we remember years down the road. And right now, it's like you get there, and they're smiling. I usually try to tell my parents ahead of time, we don't want them to act a certain way. We're just going to play. And that's usually the pictures that most people love the most.
No, I think that's very cool. What do you look forward to moving forward with your photography and what you're doing? What have you not had a chance to do yet? What do you want to do with what you've been doing? Analog capture, maybe darkroom work. I mean, what do you look forward to as something that you find that's going to be exciting in the future here? Besides making tons of money shooting all these great weddings and stuff.
Exactly. I love it all. And really, day in and day out, I just don't get bored with any of it. Right now, we're focusing on really updating all of our marketing and making sure that the new clients that we have, the prospects that we get, that they're really familiar with our work and that they know what they're getting themselves into. But overall, I just feel really fortunate that I've had good friends and really great clients. It's funny because once you have a session with somebody, from that point on, I just feel kind of connected. So I guess in the big picture, eventually we would like to have a little boutique studio and just really kind of grow old with people around here. For many years to come, we'll know the kids and the grandkids, and from there just kind of be a part of the community.
That is very cool. So out of your choice from what you're shooting, do you like your Contax 645 better than the Nikon with the primes? What do you personally like?
Well, I like the Nikon. I like the prime lenses. I have the 1.4, I have the 105, 2.8, I think VR.
Doesn't that lens rock?
It's my primary lens. I keep that lens on whichever Nikon I'm shooting with. We usually have that on there because it doesn't matter how close you get or how far away, it's awesome. But I have the 50 1.4. Those are my main lenses. I also have the 24-85 2.8. It's a good all-round great. It actually has some really great boat. It's not quite as good as the 85, but it'll definitely do because of the versatility. You don't have to constantly change your lens. But the contacts now, I have to say, it makes me feel like such a professional. And it's a great camera, and it has the Zeiss glass. I said that earlier, my Sony point-and-shoot digital, it had Zeiss glass. Researched ahead of time, and I realized that the glass was very important. And so I think that's one of the big pluses of shooting with the contacts, is that you have that Zeiss glass, and it's just pristine and sharp and perfect. So it's definitely a different look, and I like them for different reasons. And of course, I like the Nikon just because it's faster and I'm more familiar with the setting. But I think as time goes on, contact becomes one of my favorites, of course.
What glass do you have with your contacts?
I have the 80 2.0. I ordered it from KEH. It came and it's pristine. I mean, came with all the boxes and everything. I haven't worked with very many medium formats, and so I'm not sure in the big picture how it is, but I can see me collecting a lot of cameras. I have a Pentax K1000, and I have a Canon Rebel film, 35mm.
So you're getting what they call GAS, huh? You have gear acquisition syndrome.
It's so bad. It is so, so bad. I mean, I have a Holga. It's really bad, but it could be worse. At least you can make money with it.
Now, is there anything else you have aspirations for equipment-wise? I mean, are you looking to shoot some Fuji Instant? Are you looking to shoot 4x5? I mean, some of the most beautiful portraits I've ever seen for traditional wedding stuff have been on 4x5 chrome, over the top.
I would love to do it all, but right now, I think one of my big things is I'm loving the Polaroid. I want to get the Polaroid back for the 645 contacts.
I just got one for mine.
You did?
I did.
How
I
is
just,
it?
It's very cool. I mean, it puts the image, so when you have the picture in your hand and after you peeled it apart, the image is in the lower right-hand corner.
Uh-huh.
But it scans up nice. I put a couple up on my Facebook profile on the album. It's fun. It's not the full 3.25x4.25 image, but here's the thing. Any camera that you have that takes a full Polaroid is very rare to have anything fast. You would have to get yourself a Mamiya Universal, the big square box rangefinder.
Yeah.
With a 100 f2.8 lens is the fastest thing anywhere to shoot a full-size Polaroid.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to, of course, shoot a 4x5 and get some really crazy lenses because even typically large format lenses are like f5.6. I like the very shallow depth of field, sort of the euphoric.
Me too.
Feel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And with the combination of the contacts with the Polaroid back, makes some pretty stunning stuff. As you well know, with that 80-20, you can get some very shallow depth of field. So if you look on eBay and you watch carefully, you can pick a backup for pretty economical. I mean, sometimes they're overpriced. I actually scored one for, I don't know, it was like $20.
Oh, wow.
Somebody put it up and it's like, buy it now. But the thing is, you need to watch this stuff very frequently.
Yeah, I priced one recently. I think B&H had a back. I think MSB2 or something like that. And so I was almost set to buy it, but I was like, no, I need to wait. So, but it will be a part of my gear soon. The problem that I run into is that I'm like 5 feet tall and just a little over 100 pounds. So me carrying all this gear is just really comical, and it just gets kind of funny.
You need to get your husband out there hugging some more gear for you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he would, but I think he would definitely enjoy it probably too.
Do you have him out there shooting too?
Nope. He is a engineer project manager, and I actually work for an engineering firm, and I have an associate, and so we've been building our business. She is an engineer.
Wow, three geeks all hooked up.
Yeah, it's us, and we love it, and that's the thing about it. We just love it so much, and it's not like work.
What kind of engineering are you guys doing?
Well, we're environmental, but we have civil.
You're making freeways and that kind of engineering, right?
Yeah, and doing all kinds of recovery stuff on the coast. So there's a lot of environmentals and geologists, so it's a good group of people, and I love them, but actually I'm going to have to leave them.
Do you find that because of your guys' background as doing this engineering work, that you're drawn to sort of gear, geekiness, technology, cool guy, sort of this geek thing? That I mean, typically that we don't find most girls want to play with this stuff, but I think with your background, it sort of actually complements what you're doing.
I have always worked on computers, and even back in the day when they had the Bernoulli disk and stuff, these big old, 8.5 by 11 size discs.
Yep.
And graphics in my background a little bit too, but of course I've always been drawn to art. I am a geek by nature though. If I have a choice between getting my hair done or buying a gadget, it's going to be a gadget. And I don't look like the type, though. I don't look like a tomboy or whatever. But it's just kind of funny because I am a geek. And me and my husband are perfect for each other. He's actually a chemical engineer, and we don't work together. When we met, we just knew that we were each the one for one another.
Wow, how cool is that?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty cool. My life is pretty good, even though right now I'm pretty much working two jobs. But things couldn't get any better.
Yeah, the thing is you're working two jobs, and I mean, ideally, you don't probably need to do the photography to make a living. You're doing it because you have a passion for it. You love this.
Exactly, and it came to me. And I feel like when things come to you, you kind of got to grab it and go with it. And it's just been a slow process the last couple of years where I kept getting contacted. And so I'm like, I'm going to set up a website, and I'm going to create a business and just see where it goes. And that's what's happened, and it's been wonderful. And I meet so many wonderful people. And at the same time, I'm not constantly worried about every little dime. I don't have to do it to make money. I'm doing it because it's really my passion.
No, it definitely tells and it comes across with yourself that you have a passion for this.
Yeah, I do. And I love looking at other people's work. And hopefully Jose Villa doesn't think I'm like stalking him or anything. But when you see things, you forget that even though we are photographers and it's a business, the people that we meet, they're going to have this for the rest of their lives. And when they're old and gray and they look back and they're looking at their pictures, you are a part of that. So you're giving them something that's priceless in the end. And my kids are getting a little bit older, and it's kind of a late in life thing for me. But I look back at everything, all my pictures that I've taken over the years. And if we had to evacuate for any reason, that's the first thing that's going with me. It's just one of those things that you can't replace.
So true. So one thing you want to do moving forward here photography-wise, what do you want to do that you haven't got to do yet?
I don't know. Last year, I had two good friends that hired me to shoot their weddings in different countries. And so I feel like I've been pretty lucky. But if I had one thing, well, this is going to sound crazy, but one thing is just to have more time to volunteer for special things. I love animals, and I'd like to just be able to volunteer on a regular basis for some kind of organization locally that just kind of helped them out, right? But the main thing is just to have more time just to do what I love. I guess overall, that's kind of a small request. Of course, I'd love to go to Paris or wherever and shoot a wedding and everything. But right now, my main goal is just to really grow the business and get to where we can do it more.
Do you take a camera everywhere you go?
I do.
You do?
I do, even to my office.
So you grab your handbag when you leave and you throw a camera over your shoulder?
I have a backpack that I put a camera in the bottom. It has the little bottom part of it. So my lunch and stuff goes in the top, and my camera is always with me. So, yeah, it gets heavy, but it's funny, too, because at my office, whenever they have something, they know to come get me. So if they need pictures of anything, they'll usually come grab me or tell me that they have something going on.
Let's talk about your website, your blog. Tell me what you have going so people can actually see what you're doing, look at your beautiful work.
Well, thank you. It is teresagoff.com, I have a blog. If you go to teresagoss.com, my links are all there, my blog. And I just recently added a portrait site, and we're in the process of getting all of our galleries updated. So all of that will be revised very soon. Yeah, I've had some issues with getting files transferred on my blog, so I lost a lot of my archive stuff. That's pretty much all we have going on right now. We've been revamping our marketing materials, and so we're hoping to really start offering a lot of different types of sessions and fun stuff. But yeah, we're kind of more of a small little boutique specialized kind of photography studio.
And if there was any photographer that you could hang out with, past, present, dead, alive, or anybody, who would you want to hang out with?
Oh, wow, that's a big one. I don't know. I mean, there's so many that I love, and I love them all for different reasons. I don't know if you have had a chance to talk to her yet, but her name is Missy Cochran, and she has a blog, and it's Learn Film With Me. And she's awesome, too. But there's so many that I respect and admire. I took a Brianna Graham, which is completely not analog, but I took her workshop, and I just really respect her business knowledge and everything. So I think I'd like to hang out with her. She seems like a unique person, and she kind of marches to her own tune. But she does it, and she does it with flair. And as much as the photoshopping and stuff kind of gets not, her stuff just looks very, it's her, and I just love the way it looks. And then, of course, Jose and Elizabeth Messina. I love them. They're great.
That is very, very cool there. So let's make sure we give everybody, again, your website. They can look at what you're doing, your photos, your blog, and just get some inspiration from your work to see how you've been integrating analog into the workflow and moving more towards analog. And I think even more so on how you can shoot film, you can keep film alive, you can still integrate it into a hybrid workflow, and how all this stuff can be married and happy together.
Right. I mean, it can. And it's awesome. And it's about the art, not just about the technology. But my website is teresagoff.com, and it's teresagoff.com. And you can get to everything about me there. We're kind of a small little thing, and we just love what we do.
No, this is great work, and I love your enthusiasm, and your images are beautiful. And it's just great to have you on the program today, and I do appreciate taking the time
so
and chat. It's very cool, and I'm definitely looking forward to hearing more about what you're up to and what you guys are doing. This is great work.
Well, you're awesome, Scott, and thank you, and keep up the good work, because we don't want it to die. We want it to stay alive. We need our film to last a long time. So I think I'm doing my fair share.
There you go. Thanks, Teresa.
Okay, thank you, Scott.
Well, there you go. Teresa Goff, what a great photographer, beautiful work. What an excellent, excellent person. She is very, very cool. You want to check her work out, check her website. They got some beautiful stuff going on. And it just goes to show you that digital isn't really what it's all meant to be. And you can shoot film and create beautiful work. And she has the best gear that you can buy. And guess what she chooses to shoot? Film. There you go, baby. Check it out. You've been listening to Inside Analog Photo. Of course, brought to you by Fujifilm over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional. Richard Photo Lab at richardphotolab.com. DR5 for the fabulous black and white process at www.dr5.com. Our friends over at Iger Studios at igerstudios.com. Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com. And our media partners at the Analog Photography User Group over at www.apug.org. And our photographic philanthropy partners, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film at www.eastmanhouse.org. I'm your host, Scott Chipper, here on Inside Analog Photo. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.